As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Welcome to Love My Renovation Project, and we do love most of them. I have so much fun doing this and have for 24 years now that I just love to see someone get that home and make it into their home. If you want to be part of the show today, please call us at 888-627-6008, toll free, and ask your renovation question. We're going to be discussing all things regarding renovation projects. It's either the FHA 203K or the Homestyle Renovation Mortgages, to name a couple. One of our clients has 9 different renovation products that they offer the clients. Yahoo! Anyway, while most of 203Ks go off without a hitch, from time to time you may find yourself with no one to talk to on your side that understands the 203K program. If you have a problem with your project and don't mind discussing it on live radio, please give us a call. If you want to do it privately, we have helped lots of people so far. An initial call certainly is free. Contact us at 203k911.com. Anyway, let's see. If you have a topic you'd like to discuss in more specific terms, you know, feel free to go into 203konline.com or any of our other websites and send us a note. We're happy to help you in any way we can. We always try to help you by showing you the way to fix your problem personally, yourself, without any further help from you or any cost. We only charge if we have to step in and do more than what we've told you to do or actually do it for you. So we had a potential new client who reached out to us the other day. He's purchasing a home and doing a limited 203K. We've not run into what he is wanting to do. It's a purchase, and the construction cost is about $30,000 to $35,000, is what he explained to us. He would like to use a handful of contractors, a painting guy, exterior guy, siding, bathroom guy, plumbing, and able to be in charge of firing, hiring, and payouts, as he put it. Is there a limit on the number of contractors he can have with a limited 203K? And what would you suggest is the best way to handle this? Your advice is appreciated. Well, yes, he can use up to 5 trade contractors. So you've got your painter, plumber, electrician, roofer, siding guy. There you go. You've got 5. Our software is actually set up for up to 5 contractors. Just use the configuration tab to accomplish this if you want to do it. It isn't required. But if you wanted to create the contracts for everybody and do all that and a scope of work for each individual contractor, you could actually do that in our software. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. First, you need to know what contingency reserve percentage your lender requires. They do have options. They can do 10%, 15%, or 20%. But as an example, if your lender on a limited 203K is going with 10% contingency, then you don't have $35,000 in construction costs that you can use. It drops way down, 10% off of that, or $3,500 off of the $35,000. And then 800 more leaves you about 30,700 for construction. Now, if you tip the scale and drop it into 31,000 in this case, it's supposed to flip over and become a full or standard 203K with a consultant involved because it's too close and you tip the scale. Once you tip the scale, it's not supposed to revert ever back to a limited 203K. So know this answer before you start soliciting your contractor bids. If the lender requires a 20% contingency, then the construction can only be no more than $27,200, if I've calculated properly. So if you're sitting there at $30,000 and he requires a 20% contingency, you are already over the amount for a limited 203K. It must be under $35,000 with all costs and fees, including the contingency. If you use our software and configure it for a limited 203K project, it will all allow you to include up to 5 trade contractors. And when you go into the specification of repairs, you will see that each line item in your repairs has the ability to pull down and tell us which contractor is doing that item. Now, if you have a lot of items that nobody's going to be doing, a lot of items that are blank, just leave those alone. Don't select a contractor. What happens if you don't select a contractor, it will automatically put that item in that contractor's bid as a no requirement. That's pretty cool. It saves you writing no requirement on all those line items, which has always been that way. If you leave it blank, I've asked to review some 203K projects from time to time in our software, and I look at them and they've typed in no requirement. It's not necessary. If you just leave it blank and don't do anything, when it types, it'll actually type no requirement automatically. So be careful. Streamline Ks and limited 203Ks, which is the new name for the Streamline K, don't allow payment from the loan for your consultant. So you have to bite the bullet and pay them. Why they did that, I don't know, because 98% of the problem 203Ks are limited 203Ks. From what I heard from DC, 98% of the problems are there. So what you do is you take the problem solver out of the equation. Now, if you're doing a limited, you want a 203K consultant. You want someone on your side that knows what's going on and can guide you through the steps. Again, if you bid too high, you got a 20% contingency mandated by your lender, and you come in at $30,000 for construction, you've just gone $800 over the limit. It now becomes a standard 203K. So, yahoo, you're there anyway. But just be careful. There are some nuances. This homeowner in Philadelphia called us, and he's glad he did because he didn't know about the contingency reserve at all. He thought he had $35,000 in construction that he could use, and he was very glad he made the phone call. We have lots of consultants in Philadelphia. So if that's where your house is, feel free to go to one of our websites, like 203konline.com, and place your order. And there you'll see that we'll get on your project right away with someone local to you.
HUD the inspector's concerns. The last couple of weeks, we've had several lenders calling asking us about the recent decision for HUD or FHA to eliminate the list of roster inspectors. Believe me, it's clearly not for the FHA 203K. It's for CIR inspectors, primarily new construction. The U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD, issued a new rule eliminating the need for FHA to maintain a list of roster inspectors. These are HUD fee inspectors. And those used to have an application, you had to file it, and then HUD would put you on that. But the new rule allows lenders to use International Code Council, ICC certified inspectors for that new construction. FHA recognizes the sufficiency and quality of inspectors carried out by the International Code Council, ICC, Certified Combination Inspectors. So they are saying that lenders can use those inspectors, but it has nothing to do with the FHA 203K roster of inspectors. So just be careful. Recognize that it's a different animal. Appraisers have been doing CIRs for as long as I can remember, 1990-ish, when I got into appraising. So we're okay. The FHA appraisers can still do CIR inspections on 203B inspectors or projects, and consultants, 203K consultants, can even do CIR inspections if you know how to fill out the form. And of course, we have an app in the Play Store for Google Play Store that makes it real simple to do your CIRs, fill them out in the field, and send them right from the field back to your lender. This is where appraiser calls out a deficiency on a 203B loan, something like a broken or cracked window in the living room or missing cover plates, something simple, typically pretty simple. Or if they have no GFIs, they ask for the GFI to be installed in the kitchen or the bathroom. Any of us, can go back, including the appraiser, and do what's called a 442 on the same form and get that taken care of. So we're going to take a real break this time. I apologize for the last one. If you want to be part of the show when we come back, call us at 888-627-6008 and be part of the show. So hang with us. We'll be right back after this short break.
.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203K911.com now. And let's fix your problems.
Hey, welcome back. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. I love it when I get a telephone message and John Doe calls up and says, "Mike, I'm sorry I missed you. Call me back at 553 everything else." And they say their number so fast because they know it. But we always try to say it as if we're writing it. 888-627-6008. I get these questions from new lenders all the time. Does every project go smoothly? Well, of course not. Nothing in life goes smoothly every time. I don't know how many people I know that have been married 2, 3, 4, 5 times. But whenever it is, things can go smoothly. The nice thing about an FHA 203K is I would guess that 98 out of 100 go pretty darn smooth. And those other 1 or 2 out of 100 can be nightmares, but recognize it. Recognizing if you haven't had a problem and you're on number 50 and you're just riding high, recognize you're going to get one. Sooner or later, you're going to have one that creates a problem. We have one right now where the contractor's on his third extension and constantly has issues that aren't getting resolved. What we found with our 203K911.com business is that most of the problems are communication. But just so you know how that works, is we don't charge you anything on a 203K911 call unless you want us to do it for you. If we're going to have to spend a lot of time and do it for you, then that's what we're stuck on. So we'll actually charge you for that service. The project, let's see this one here. This project is an excellent example as to why when you purchase a multi-unit property, you should take possession vacant. I had over 300 rental units at one time in my career, and that's just a no-brainer. If you're buying a multiple family unit, a 2, 3, or 4-plex or larger, and you're going to make it a 4-plex or less, you always want to take possession vacant. I've had several clients recently. One bought a single-family house that had a tenant in it, and they hired this wonderful lawyer who was great for them and really bad for my client. They challenged whether the client was going to move into the house. Well, under the FHA 203K, you have to be an owner-occupant. So they bought the house, and it took them 11 months and $22,000 to get those people out of the house so they could fix their home and finally move in it. What a nightmare. And then the gall of the attorney that was against them, he came up to him at the end of the court where he won and said, I can get your money back from the sellers. Just hire me and I'll get that money back for you. Interesting, huh? He probably could. The guy's a bulldog. So recently we had one where the project was going slowly. The tenants haven't moved out and don't want to move out. She can't start, the borrower can't start eviction until her unit is ready. Well, she was going to live in the one that the tenants are in. So she actually made it easier on herself by taking one of the other units and making it hers. And here's the kicker. She decided to put an on-demand water heater in her unit without it going through the process. When you have a 203K, the borrower has at least two clauses where they agree they will not do any additional work outside the scope of work without first telling the lender slash consultant that what they want to do and putting the money up in escrow to do that work, which means we have to have an estimate from the contractor. But everything was going wrong on this project, and they decided to just get it between the contractor and them against the guideline. Contractor knows the rules too. So what happens? He puts this on-demand water heater inside the kitchen, where she has to bump into it every time she walks in the kitchen or look at it as she walks there. It's huge. Where could it have been? The sink is right there on the exterior wall. Why not put it on the exterior wall so she doesn't have to see it all day every day and tie it into the plumbing under the sink? That, to me, would have been the way to do it. But who didn't ask the consultant? Nobody. At minimum, this thing is ugly. She's already talking about having somebody else come in and move it to the outside wall. But what we've done in order to keep that from ever happening again is some time ago, we added a group of notes. I think it started out as 5 notes and then it was 8. Well, 8 tells the contractor, you and the borrower cannot make changes in the scope of work. That means you can't add or take away anything in the scope of work that doesn't first come through the consultant and the lender. Okay, and then the contractor has to sign right above that statement. We made it a group of notes is just above their signature. But they cannot make any changes in the scope of work. The borrower signs 2 similar statements to see that this doesn't happen, and yet it still continues to happen. We, as consultants, are then stuck with this to deal with because those problems that shouldn't have been problems at all pop up from time to time. What is it? I had a friend of mine that always said, yeah, life is good and then you die. Anyway, we got another consultant question came in. When is my fee earned? The consultant says that Mrs. Johnson wanted a 203K project consultation. She had a bid in hand for $49,000. She wasn't happy with that contractor, so she hired another contractor and asked him if he could bid the job, and he said, okay, I will. But number one, do you qualify for $49,000 with your lender? Have you been approved? Of course, her answer was, sure, I have. Absolutely. It was an odd question, I thought, to be coming from the contractor. But obviously, he's had that problem before, where he's spent a lot of time bidding a project only to find out the client doesn't qualify. So the other contractor came out and looked at the 203K repairs that were required. And then she thought she would do it in two phases. Let me do the $49,000, and in a year or two, when I can afford more, I'll do another and upgrade some other things. But we had left the addition off in this first phase because they were already at $49,000. Well, he came in a little lower, which encouraged her to go ahead and put the second phase back into the loan. Well, at that point, the consultant asked this question, wrote a long text to Mrs. Johnson, explaining that I had done the work you told me originally and turned it in. Now you're asking me to change it and lower the prices to that new contractor's bid, and they're reasonable. You know, the other guy might have been a little bit high, but his was reasonable too. So they adjusted the bid, and then she came back and added all this new work. Well, when you got all that new work, now she wants you to do the job again. So he's done it once, he's done it twice, and now here it is adding a bunch of stuff. Well, she did qualify for $49,000, but she did not qualify for $50,000. And now he's asked to bump this thing up to $75,000 or $80,000. Well, nobody asked the lender about this change, but the borrower says, uh-oh, the lender says I no longer qualify for the new amount, so I'm not going to do the loan. Please give me a refund on your consultation. I want people to understand that our consultation, we drove out there, met with you for an hour and a half or two, put our work together into a cohesive plan, sent it out, got signatures, turned it into the lender, your loan could be made. Everything was fine. Then you changed contractors. We changed the contractor, dropped a couple of little items down, so instead of $49,000, it's now $47,000. And then you wanted us to do it again. So this consultant that had contacted us had actually done his job twice, completely turned it into the lender. When he was asked to do it a third time, they no longer qualified, the deal died, and the lady wants her money back. No. They were hired to do a job, they did it. They were amenable to making the changes you wanted to get a different contractor in there. They made those changes at no additional cost. That was kind of that consultant too. But now he's doubly earned his fee. So, no, there's nothing there to refund or return. So now, the next question that came in was, what is the difference between a 203K and a home style program? The 203K is an FHA product. The home style is a Fannie Mae conventional project or product. So the difference is mainly, for a consultant, is mainly in the reporting of your findings. The two loans are very similar, but it's the reporting. You don't need as much reporting. With an FHA 203K, you're supposed to turn in a property inspection. Not a home inspection, but a property inspection for the purpose of determining what minimum property standards need to be met. Okay? Well, you can pretty much do anything you want with a home style, but you still should add anything that you find in the way of health and safety items that may be found with your property inspection. But you don't have to turn in is a property inspection, a written report. Doesn't mean you don't have to do it. The homestyle loan is a little more flexible on what can and can't be done. You can actually build a brand new swimming pool, put in patios and outdoor entertainment center, while no luxury items are allowed with the FHA 203K. Now, FHA 203K has recently changed their amount of money that it might be needed to fix an existing swimming pool, which allows you to put new gunite if you want, or literally fix the pool up to your loan amount. Anyway, I noticed the clock is coming up hard on our break, so we're going to take a short break. When we come back, if you want to be part of the show, please call in at 888-627-6008 before the show. We'll be right back with you.
Thinking of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203ksoftware.com, and you'll be glad you did.
Hey, new question that we had. Let's see. We got you want to be part of the show? Let's try that one more time. 888-627-6008. I had a call in from a realtor. So we just sold a house that had been freshly renovated. Do you know there's lots of things wrong with houses that are just renovated? Man, I've just gone through one, and there's so much wrong. They could have made a full 203K and added another $20,000 to the purchase of a home that had just been renovated. But I would always suggest that when you're buying a home for your client, this is meant for realtors now or home buyers. When you buy that home, go down to this building inspection department and pick up what's called a permit history. Now, I used to get them for 10 cents a copy, whatever how many pages it was. They'd be giving 10 cents for each page they copied. Now, today, it's maybe $10 to $25. But times change, and, you know, inflation, that 10 cents is now $10 to $25. Oh, my God. But if you look at that house as you're buying it, and everything looks beautiful, maybe an investor bought it and flipped it. Does that mean that it's perfect, that it's right? Not really. What means it's right is if you have a permit for a new roof. You see that new roof, and you don't have any idea what it was before, but you get a permit history, and it says no permits were taken out for the roof, not since, you know, 20 years ago. That means they put that brand new roof on there without permit, or it likely means that. Do you, as a realtor, want to take responsibility for that roof? Because I think you are. Because you got to do your due diligence and make sure that the things that were done on that house at least have the permits taken out, which means a building inspector looked at that roof when it was torn off and was ready to go. And approved. So they saw the tear off. They made sure everything was done and it only has one layer of roofing. If there is no permits on that thing, then I would be getting a home inspection. Yes, it's all fixed up, but you don't know. Maybe that home inspector can tell you how many layers of roofing is on that roof. Right, so if there's three, then that needs to come off. And at least get it so there's the maximum roofing layers these days is two. Well, if it has one, then they can put one on it. But if it has two already, at least one of those has to come off, and we recommend that both of them come off. Get down to the sheathing, make sure that there's no damage to the sheathing. Okay. So that actually leads me to another story that we had. We had an inspector general and the FBI stop by my offices. Actually, they did it on repeated occasions for the same meeting. They wouldn't identify themselves. They just come in and make Mike here. No, he's not here. Okay, we'll be back. Well, can we leave your card? I'll have him call you. No, we'll be back. What they failed to ask was, is Mike ever here? No. We had 20 appraisers and 15 consultants working out of that office. And Mike found out real quick that I can't be at the office because everybody's asking me questions to make decisions on things they would have made decisions on if I hadn't been. That's always baffled me. So, anyway, finally, I told the secretary there, when they came in the next time, get on the phone with me and hand them the phone. So that's what we did. So I'm talking to this young lady, and I said, if you want a meeting with me, you must make an appointment. And I explained why I don't come to the office. And they said, oh, okay. You'll meet with us if we have an appointment. I said, of course. So they set up an appointment, and I showed up. And a couple of days later, a week later, their schedule in mind didn't mesh for a week or two. When I get in there, that's when they hold their cards out and show me to try to intimidate you. I was a drill sergeant in the United States Army. I'm not easily intimidated. And especially if you're not doing anything wrong, you shouldn't be intimidated. They asked me about a bunch of jobs that we had with this one investor. In that time, when the investors were allowed by the inspector, 95 to 98, somewhere in that area. But then they went on to another property. That, by the way, they couldn't find any fraud in the ones that that investor did with us, or those investors did with us. And they asked me, how do you explain that? I said, I don't need to explain why nothing's wrong. If something's wrong with the other people, they should explain to you why they have something wrong. But certainly, if you're doing it right, I shouldn't have to explain that to you. We don't participate in fraud. But anyway, they said, well, we looked at this house you did at this address, and they gave me the address in Albany, California, and said that if you you said in your scope of work that the roof needed to be removed, new sheathing put down, and new roofing, new tar paper and roofing and all this. And we had a home inspector go out and look at it, and he says there's three layers of roofing on that roof. Now, any home inspectors or consultants listening here probably have already figured out what I'm about to tell you. It wasn't obvious to the inspector general office or the FBI. So they would say, because he said there's three layers and you say it's a new roof, are you calling him a liar? That always baffled me. Why in the world would I call somebody a liar? But it's odd that the FBI and the IG want to put those words into your mouth. I said, no. But if I said there was a new roof, then there was a new roof. It's that simple. I'm not calling him a liar. I'm saying he's mistaken. While they were still in the office, I picked the phone up and called one of my inspectors who happened to be in that general area, and I asked her to swing by and check out that roof. I suggested that she put her ladder up on the roof because it was real close to the street. I think legs of her ladder probably could have been on the sidewalk. Anyway, when she got there, they had left, by the way, and went back to their offices, and she called me when she got to the house. And as she put the ladder up, the owner came out. Can I help you? And she said, well, Mike asked me to come by and check something on your roof. And she said, oh, well, go right ahead. So Lisa got up there, shot a picture of everything, called me. She says, Mike, you see this brand new plywood here? This is one roof. But you've got the tar paper and then a course upside down. And you offset a second course right side up. And then you start lapping, and where it's lapped is where there's three layers of shingles. I said, great. Now, I want to tell you another thing, and that is when you call this FBI to leave to talk to somebody, you are never going to talk to somebody, ever. that's part of their operation. They want you to be recorded on the phone, so they have your actual voice in a recording making the statement. So once you did that, I got on the phone. It's clearly a brand new roof. I said, apparently the home inspector they hired was just getting started and had no experience with new roof construction or home inspecting for that matter, and therefore he's so wrong in this case. There is a new roof, and he said there's three layers. That's bullshit. It's not true. The other thing I found interesting was that I want you to be on notice that I don't believe anything else in his home inspection at this point. He's clearly inadequate as a home inspector. Now, I didn't never know who it was. I don't know. But they've hired a home inspector that's inadequate, and then tried to send my ears back to, like, that ain't going to happen. It didn't happen here. But I explained the roof construction on the tape so they had full knowledge of what it should have been and what it is. And I told them, anybody, even you guys, could go out to that house and look up and see the brand new plywood. Why on earth would we replace the plywood and put three layers of roofing on that house? It just isn't going to happen that way. So getting back to this permit thing, if a realtor is purchasing a house for their client, part of their due diligence should be to go get a permit history and look at those things that were repaired. So if it's got a brand new kitchen and new bathrooms, you should have a permit for the electrical. Cabinets don't require it, from what I understand. So what you will have in a kitchen update or a remodel, you're going to have an electrical permit for to be sure there's two circuits in that kitchen. Two electrical circuits. And the GFIs are functioning and so forth. So if those things aren't there, then something's wrong. That means that renovation was done probably without any permits at all. Okay. Now, what about new carpeting or floor coverings? Well, there's no permit needed for that kind of thing. Building inspection departments can be a real challenge at times. If you're doing a job without permits, and then they find out about it, the permit fees have doubled when you do get them. So it's best just to get the permit in the first place and do it right. But years ago, I had loaned money to a guy that was flipping houses. I loaned him $30,000 on a house so that he could fix it up and sell it. I was doing that at the same time myself, so I didn't mind. I figured the worst scenario is that I take the house and fix it up myself. So I was foreclosing on this house at the time. He didn't pay me. He started the foreclosure process. And I happened to be driving by on the way to work, and I noticed the front door was standing wide open. Well, you don't do that unless you want to lose all your appliances and everything else. So I got out of the car, knocked, nobody answered, and I went in the house, looked around. It was vacant. Nobody was there. Neighbor came over who was mowing his lawn, and he saw me. So he comes over, and he said, oh, they're gone. They left last night late. I said, okay, well, I see my key still fits, so I'm going to go ahead and lock it up until I finish the foreclosure. My attorney really did not want me going in there and start working until such time as we owned the house legally through the foreclosure process. So I said, I see you're mowing the lawn, and I asked him, how much would you charge me to mow the lawn here, too, because it's getting kind of bad, and with all those trees in the backyard, this could be a fire hazard. He said, oh, I'd be happy to mow it for you. So I said, wonderful. And I gave him $10 or something at that time. That was about the going price for mowing the lawn. Either way, I said, just buy yourself a beer or two. But he called me in a couple of hours, and he was all nervous because he said that the building inspector came by, told him to get off the property. And then he put this big red tag on the property. I went back over there and read the red tag, which said something like, you must have permits before fixing this property up. And since you didn't, you face double permit fees, which I thought was odd, seeing that the foreclosure hadn't completed and we didn't own the house yet. I can't really do any work, but mowing the lawn, I didn't really think constituted working on the house. So I went over to the inspection department in Richmond, California, with the red tag in hand, and I was greeted with a smiling face as they got up and walked toward the counter and said, "Oh, looks like you screwed up. Double permit fees for you." And I replied, "Yes, and I'm happy to pay those fees. Can you kindly tell me how much it is to mow the lawn?" "What?" I said, "I sent a guy over there to mow the lawn because it was about waist high or knee high or whatever, but it presented a fire hazard. And I'm in foreclosure on the house. I'm foreclosing on the people, and they've gone and moved out. So they're not going to be mowing that lawn. But I felt in the neighborhood that I should take some responsibility and go ahead and mow the lawn since he was mowing his next door." "That's all you were doing? Well, permits aren't required for that." And I slammed my hand on the counter. I said, "Yeah, but I want to pay double." And they were kind of confused. I said, "Yeah, you know, I get this nose, this red tag slapped in my face. And it said I got to pay double fines for mowing the lawn because that's all we were doing. I don't even have permission to get inside legally until we've finished the foreclosure." "Oh, well, okay. But when you do take over, we want an appointment. We're going to come through and see just how much work is being done." And I said, "If there is any work being done, it isn't work done by me. I'm not working on that house yet." But they were just one-track mind. And when I did set out to own the property, I called and made the appointment. They gave me a four-hour window, 8 o'clock to noon. Well, I parked in the driveway, I backed into it, facing the street. So there's no way I could miss anybody pulling up or walking past me to the front door. After 4 hours and 30 minutes, I put a call in, and they told me, "Well, the inspector was there. You weren't there." I said, "Well, what address did the inspector go to?" "Well, they had the wrong address. They were a block up the street." I said, "Well, look at the red tag. You got a copy of it there?" "Oh, yeah." "Oh, my God, we made a mistake." I said, "Yeah, and it was intentional. There's no doubt in my mind. You guys slapped me in the nose for something, and I didn't take your crap, and now you're made late here. So I need to make another appointment, apparently, one that you guys can actually be at." I grew up in that area and done a lot of renovations in that area personally. So I guess we're trying to slap me in the nose a little bit. When he finally got out there and did look at it, he said, "Well, there's nothing been done in here yet." I said, "That's what I've been telling you. You gave me a red tag for mowing the lawn and being civic, do my civic duty to keep my neighbors safe from fire hazard." "Oh, all right. Well, what are you going to do to it?" I said, "I don't know yet. I just took it over. You and I are entering this for the first time since I owned it, effectively." So anyway, he said there was a couple things that looked newer inside. Well, we'll go after the guy that did it. I didn't own the house until, you know, yesterday at noon. So. It's crazy. So we got our last break is coming up hard. So we're going to take a minute and we'll be right back with you. When we get back, if you've got a question you'd like to be on the air, call us at 888-627-6008 and give us your question. We're happy to work with you. Thank you much. Right.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203K911.com. We know what to do.
Welcome back. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. This is our shortest segment, but call in. We'll get you on the air. The building inspector was kind of testy with me on that project and started making verbal threats about charging me for somebody else's mistake. And I just said, you know who I am. I've been here for years renovating property. I'm very active in the community. I said, I'm personal friends with most of the city council. I said, if you want to play games, I guess we can have them talk to you from higher up and go into your boss, and he can tell you to get off my back and just do your job. Do it the best you can. Don't screw with people. That's not what it's about. It's getting along with people, getting your neighborhoods fixed back up. It's gentrification. Gentrification is not going to happen if the people don't get involved and renovate these houses. So another call that we had this year is, what is the biggest issue with limited 203K loans? What is the biggest issue? Well, the biggest issue with any 203K or home style, standard or limited, is getting your bid back in a timely manner. So what's the cure? Getting your bid back in a timely manner. If you have contractors out there, and there are lots of them out there that specialize in 202K, they understand they have to get their bid back. Realtors, you make an offer on a house that needs work, and you put in a 10-day or 5 days to get all your reports in, it sometimes can't happen that fast. It's better to give us at least 17 days. That seems to work most of the time. But the key is that we do have to do our due diligence. We can't rush just because you are in a bind or you want to eat sooner rather than later this month. So give us the time to get the reports in. We have to schedule that report, and that can't always happen the same day. Rarely can. And quite often can't happen the second day, the third day or fourth day is typically. Sometimes the second day works. It just depends on who's going where and how many people we have out and how many jobs came in that day when you finally place your order. The fastest way to get your order in is to go to one of our websites and actually place an order. So we have all the information we've gathered in one place. We know the borrower's name. We know the contractor if they have one. We know they don't have a contractor if they don't have one. That's always nice to know. If they don't have a contractor, we don't mind helping them in that regard and letting them know some people who've done well in the past. But right now, my biggest headache is a contractor who has been like gold in the past. So we can't guarantee or recommend a contractor. We usually recommend or give you a list of several to pick from that have been good in the past, but it's up to the borrower to call them and talk to them, find out if they have any bandwidth left, they can take on another project. Quite often they don't. And if they don't, or you get a good contractor and you start dumping a lot of work on him, all of a sudden he's no longer a good contractor because the consultant has given him too much work. We do our best to hold our contractors to no more than 10% of our work at any one time. So the biggest issue is getting those prices. On a limited 203K, you can do that yourself. If you go to 203konline.com, 2030KONLINE.com and look across the top right, you'll see Project Estimator. If you click on that, you're going to be taken to the our little widget, and you can have that widget on your website by contacting Home Tech Publishing and getting that widget on your website. And what happens is you can plug in what you're going to do to that product or that home in that project, and it'll pick out a very good bid that is real close to reality. Okay, it's, these people have been putting prices on renovation for over 50 years. They have it down very well, and that project estimator will get that information in your hands. So if they're updating a kitchen, for instance, you can get that updated kitchen by plugging in all your amenities, print that out, take it down to your lender, and say, here's a bid. That bid should be good with just about any contractor out there because it's done professionally by a company. That's all they do is price jobs out. And they've been doing it for over 50 years. So it's easier to do when you have a limited 203K because the jobs are typically smaller. There are roofs, there are kitchen updates, new carpet, something like that. So you can pull that thing off in just a few minutes and have a bona fide bid in your hands that should be acceptable by any and every contractor that you might come across. So we recommend using it. A lot of our customers are currently using it. It's been working out really well. So I think we're running up to our deadline today. I'm sorry that more people didn't call in the last few weeks, but please feel free if you want to be with us next week, Sunday, 1 o'clock till 2 o'clock every Sunday. We're here. You can always call us at 888-627-6008. I don't know where you are. We're broadcasting from Las Vegas, Nevada, and I'm guessing it's probably about 109 degrees outside, and I am thankful that I'm sitting here inside the studio talking to you instead of outside playing tennis. Who plays tennis in this kind of heat? Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate it, as we do every week. So we're going to say, sign off for now, and we'll see you guys next week, 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. If you don't want to be on the air, send us those questions. We appreciate those, too. Thank you so much.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.